It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. All right, let's get back to the phones. Tell the Truth Monday, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Aubrey. Aubrey, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Go ahead, tell us the truth about what you thought from yesterday. Aubrey? Good gracious. Let's go to Robert. Robert, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Ooh, good Lord, this has been brutal. How you doing, Craig?
I was doing better 10 minutes ago, Aubrey, if I'm telling you the total truth, but that's what we're doing here. It's Tell the Truth Monday. But you sound coherent,
good,
and you have a good connection, so go, fire away.
Let's make it happen, man. So during the Ron Rivera era, we had a problem with the secondary not being able to cover anybody, and we didn't have a pass rush, and the offensive line and the offense was putrid. What has Adam Peters improved this year during the offseason? The truth of the matter is, if Ron Rivera would have done something like cut Johan Dotson and sign a wide receiver that was not active for day one, we would be killing him right now. This man had a plethora of draft picks. He had a lot of salary cap space, and he did less with more. He signed a middle linebacker, Wagner, who's getting slower by the day. Nobody has made an improvement. Now, Jaden Daniels, someone will say, well, he got a quarterback. Any team without a general manager who was picking number two would have picked Jaden Daniels. It was going to go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. You get no credit or love for that. But everything else, you've done absolutely nothing. Now, a year from now, I might call up and be the biggest fool in D.C. because we're winning championships and playoffs. But right now, what Adam Peters has done, he does not deserve anything because he has not improved one area. And by the way, we're on our 12th field goal kicker, and we're not even into week two. Same thing that happened in Ron Rivera era. So that's the truth of the matter, that we're still in the same place besides the quarterback, which is a huge example. I get it. But still, the rest of the team.
So, Robert, here's my thing. Like, I actually, on a baseline level, don't disagree with a lot of what you said. I just think that the context is really, really important, which is, they're not trying to take shortcuts to be good this year. They don't care if they're good this year. They care if they're good in 3 years because the chances of winning a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback are slim to none. So you take the best players
That's
available
fair.
Knowing that you're going to turn over your roster. Like, they turned over 60% of the roster. It's more than anyone else in the league.
Craig, can I respectfully counter?
Of course.
All of that is true. However, when you come out from a PR standpoint, when you come out and sell us that it's a new day, when you come out and tell us that we're making improvements, then that, as a fan, all of us work full-time jobs. I mean, you have the ability because of the industry that you're in to go inside and look at film. I don't. I have to take the word of the people that I'm listening to, and all of us were told that this was a new day. If we would have been told, hey, guys, we're getting a quarterback, but we have to scrap this roster, it's going to be a couple of years, we're smart fans, we would have said, okay.
Well, Robert, here would be my counter to your counter. Who else you been listening to? Because that's what I've said all along.
Okay, hey, well, you know what? Again, brother, actually this year I got a big promotion, so it's been hard for me to listen during the day. I actually took today off, so this is my first time I've been able to listen to you and call in at the same time.
One, I need you to take off work and call more often because I enjoy your calls. Two, we have a podcast, Robert. There's no excuses. If you want it to change, you got to be the change you want to see in the world, Robert. We got a podcast for you. We're on demand anytime you want on your schedule. But here's what I would say to the substance of your point. When you are as bad as they were last year, and when the goal is to build through the draft, and you're going to get blue chip guys through the draft, it's going to take multiple drafts. Because by nature, and by the way, even if they got multiple blue chip guys in this draft, let's say Jerzon Newton, who didn't even play yesterday, turns into a blue chipper. Let's say Sainer still turns into a blue chipper. Let's say Jaden turns into a blue chipper. That's awesome, but it's going to take multiple years because they're young, and that is the nature of the league. So I hear you, and it's going to be ugly early. I'm not saying that you're wrong in what you saw yesterday, but I would tell you what you saw yesterday is because the mess that was made before Adam Peters got here has still not been cleaned up yet because it was too big of a mess to clean up in 1 year.
Yes, sir.
That would be my retort.
And the last thing I'll say, Craig, because I know you got to take other callers, I am hoping that I'm wrong. You understand that. I'm not happy about
that.
But I wasn't upset yesterday because this is kind of what I expected. But hail to the Commanders. Let's keep it going, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it, Robert. And listen to that podcast. It's available in your feed whenever you want it. All right. That's Robert with us, taking the day off from work, calling in. We love that. Let's go to Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Tell the truth Monday time. Tell the truth.
Man, Craig, I was sitting here like, ooh, pick me, because the guy before you, he was going to make a point, and I wanted to counter with that. So, one, don't kill the segment. Just choose better people. Here we go. So, listen, he was talking about people that have employment and work jobs right now, right? So let's say this. If I came to you at your job, who's ever listening right now, I'm posing this to you. If I came to you at your job and said, I'm going to bring in a new person, and they're going to do the job today. Brand new. They've never worked here before. No experience. You got experience. But I'm going to bring them in here, and they're going to do the job. What do you expect out of them opposed to you who have experience? You probably don't think their performance is going to be that good, right? This team just flipped over what? Like you said, 60% of the players, new coaches, new ownership, new everybody. What did we expect? Like, I looked at different teams play yesterday. Detroit, that team's largely a team that's been together. They were, a high-caliber team. It took them a very, very long time to rebuild that. But then coming back in week one of this year, they look great and prepared because those guys are pretty much been playing together. The coaching has pretty much been the same. It's well-oiled. Kansas City, another one. You know, that's what you expect with experience, with people who have been there. This is a stopgap year for the Commanders, people. Repeat after me, stopgap. It's new coaching, new players. They have to get this scheme together. Now, I will say, the way the interior of our defensive line got ate up, I didn't like that. I really thought St. Juice and Forbes, they are who we thought they are. They're going to get ate up by a Mike Evans, people. That's going to happen to them. That's going to happen to people. And I really wish I think Ron Rivera was probably a Cowboys fan low-key to pick Forbes over Christian.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Terrell, I got to let you run, but great points, because we got a bunch of more calls. But I appreciate it. And I will say, too, I think a lot of the specific problems in yesterday's game, some of the big plays, are because of a lack of cohesion. It was the last point I got to in first and 10. I didn't have enough time to make it in the fullness that I wanted to, because I yapped too long on other stuff. But like, learning how to play next to the guy next to you is a really important skill, and learning how to play within the scheme and understanding where the strengths and weaknesses are and where to take your chances, where I need to be a little bit more conservative. Like, this was the first time they all got to do this. There's no cohesion here. So again, if you want to say, hey, I think they should have played a little more in the preseason, I'll hear you on that, because I think they should have played a little more in the preseason. But that still is only going to move the needle so much. Against a Tampa team, by the way, Baker knows this scheme. He's played with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin for a bunch of years. Defensively, they've had the same infrastructure in place for a lot of years. Guys like Levante David and Vita Vea, Antoine Winfield up the spine of that defense. So you had a team that had cohesion and talent against a team that lacks talent and has zero cohesion. That's what happened yesterday. Anthony, which line number should we go to for our final call? We got 1, 2, 3, or 8.
We got 1, 2, or 3.
Eight hung up.
I will go 3.
3. All right. Doug in Richmond, you get to wrap us up. Tell the truth Monday. What you got?
Appreciate you taking my call, Craig. I was really hoping that you wouldn't end it so soon when you got fired up earlier. But anyways. Yeah, I think a lot of fans just kind of lost the grasp of that this Bucs team was a few snaps away from being in the NFC Championship game. And the fact that we got beat the way we did is like a big surprise to everyone. Now, I will say I am really surprised those interior D-linemen, like they said, like the guys that came over with St. Juice and all that. But like on a baseline level, like this was a playoff team, and we have to understand that this is a new identity that needs to be established. Just a lot of newness across the board. So I'm not too worried. Like the whole getting on the ownership and fire AP, fire DQ, it's ridiculous. Like,
yeah, no, I,
team,
I hope that more fans can understand that. Hey, Doug, got to run because we're up against the break. I appreciate the call. I just want to respond to one comment in the YouTube section or the comment section real quick. Brian T. Beal says, playing with an aggressive approach doesn't need cohesion. Yeah, it does. Because when two guys don't communicate and they jump the same route and they leave Jalen McMillan wide open up the sideline, your aggression didn't pay off because you lacked cohesion. So, yeah, it does. And it also, because if you're confident in the cohesion, you know what the guy next to you is going to do, you can full send to the thing that you want to do. Now, again, their play style yesterday, the aggressive physical nature they wanted to do, there is a lot of examples of just that guy needs to go harder right here. They need to be more aggressive to the ball. They need to do a lot of that stuff. But that stuff also comes with the comfort of knowing exactly what you're doing and playing confidently. And it's very clear this unit does not have that yet. And sometimes even playing with that, you know, again, the aggression but not the cohesion means Deron Payne jumps inside and leaves the B gap wide open for a 15-yard rush. Something else that happened yesterday, aggression, lack of cohesion. If you're going to jump inside, you better do it knowing that someone's got your back in the B gap. All right. When we get back, Michael Phillips joins us for his Monday visit on Not My Beat on the Team 980.